How many of you share the prayer of that song that Jesse sang? Holiness, righteousness. God would just bring us, refine us. Refiner's fire, right? We're told that that's not pleasant, but in the end it is. It is. We are continuing on our series of the end, going through the end of Matthew. I thank Bill for covering the parable of the wise and foolish virgins. It's one of my favorite, and it was very hard to give that one up, but he really wanted to, and I know he did an amazing job as he shared that. And we get to look at today the next in a series of the series of these parables, the end time parables that Jesus gave in the context of the disciples asking, when are these things going to happen? What are the signs of your coming? So we're going to be looking at that, and the title this morning is Investing for Eternity. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for just every good gift that you give us in your Son. And Father, our hearts do long and yearn every day for something better, something better. You have placed that in our heart, Father, and we're so thankful for that. And we know that it is only you that can accomplish it. We know of ourselves all too well where our efforts lead. And we ask, Father, that you would speak to us now as we open your word and consider the words of Scripture this morning. And we ask that your Spirit would have full access. Speak to us with each of our individual needs, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. So investing for eternity. You've heard investing for the future, right? You got to invest for the future. And we just did a thing for our employees to help them to learn to save. How many of you have savings accounts? Yeah, that's good. It's really good. It was a long time since I had a savings account. I went through college and medical school and all of this, and all I had was debt. And so all I was doing was paying debt and paying off debt and paying off educational debt and all of this. And it took forever to get to a point where we could actually have a savings account for in case of emergencies. Isn't that? Isn't that what the ant does? They store up for the winter, right? So ants keep savings accounts. So there is absolutely nothing wrong with a savings account investing for the future. But that's not the investing that God is calling us to primarily. He's calling us to investing for eternity. But this parable that Jesus talks about in Matthew 5, Matthew 5. That's not right. It's Matthew 25. So turn your Bibles to Matthew 25, verse 14 to 30. This is an investment parable. This is all about investing. And when we read about this, the heading is the parable of the talents. I'm sorry, you guys have to stare at that typo the whole time. So that's Matthew 25. So just multiply that times 5. And you'll get there. So the parable of the talent. So I'm just going to read through this passage, and then we'll talk about it. Starting with verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. And then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who received 2 gained 2 more. And he who received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of these servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who received the 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also who received the 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things, and I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. And then he who received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you had not sown and gathering where you had not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But this Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reaped where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back mine own and interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. So to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But for him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Investing talents. Usually when we think of this, we think of our talents, our capabilities. And that is a right application of this. And if you go through Christ's object lessons, you can see some of those talents are our means, our monies that we have, our time. And there's a number of things that will go through as the talents and things that we have at our disposal to use for God. But literally, talent is a amount of money that Jesus is saying. They are given amount of money, each of them. And it's interesting that you see that it is not obviously their money. These are the servants of this master. So the kingdom of heaven is like God, who has everything at his disposal. And he comes and gives to his servants, those who follow him, these talents, this money. Now, how much money is a talent? A talent is 20 years of wage in that day. So lest you think that one talent was something small and minuscule, think again. The one talent servant was given 20 years of income. 20 years of wage. And the 2 talent was given 40 years of wage. And the 5 talent was given... Now I'm going blank. Yeah, that's right. 100 years of wage. 100 years of wage. And we are told in the parable that each, according to his ability, was given this. His ability to use. But please don't think that the poor 1 talent servant was given something really small. He was given something huge and 20 years. Can you imagine 20 years of wage? Yeah. I mean, that's half a lifetime of working, right? I mean, today, what would that be? How much money would that be? You know, if you maybe 30, let's just say $30,000 or $40,000 a year, 20 years, you know, that's $800,000, almost $1 million, the 1 talent. So these quantities that Jesus is putting, that which the master is giving each of these servants is a huge amount, whether it's almost $1 million or almost $2 million or almost $5 million. It's a lot. And each one was given to their ability. And this, again, this parable is given in the context of the end time. That right after the parable of the wise and foolish virgins and this important illustration of the oil is this illustration of the talents that is given. That heaven, the master, is giving this huge, elaborate quantity to each of them. And he goes away on a journey. The master in this case is Christ. Christ came and gave infinite in giving his whole life for the whole planet, and he gave a deposit of his Holy Spirit to those that were here. And to some, how much of the Holy Spirit are each of us given? Is any of us given or availed to any less of the Holy Spirit than anybody else? No. So each was given to his ability, it says, and then he who received the 5 talents went and traded. And it goes through these each of these illustrations. The person was given 5, was given that, resources of his master, and more came of it. And, you know, when it says he came to him and it says, look, you gave me 5 and now I have 5 more. I used to kind of look at that and think it was kind of like, well, look at what I've done. But I almost, as I was reading it just this time with you folks here, I got the impression that it's like, you gave me 5 and now look, there's 10. There's this, and almost a surprise that there's more. Because God's bounty is like that, isn't it? What he gives to each one of us in our lives will never not bear fruit. It will always bear fruit. But to us, it may seem like a surprise. It's like when you are going out and you shared with someone something about Christ or something about your faith, and they were really interested, and then they wanted Bible study, and it's almost like this big surprise when things come and bear fruit in our lives. And I think that actually brings God joy. He wants us to come with anticipation, expectation. But when it surprises us, do you think God loves to surprise us with the bounty of his gifts and the way they multiply? And the two talent servant, the same thing. He had the same response with great excitement. And he told them this, and they told that, he who's faithful over a few things will be made ruler over many things. Do you know, he told the 5-talent servant because he was faithful over a few things. He said the same thing to the 2-talent servant because he was faithful over a few things. And then he would have said the same thing to the 1-talent servant. Because you've been faithful over a few things, now we'll make you ruler over many things. The end result is, no matter how much they were given, no matter what lavish quantity, whether it was 20 years or 40 years or 80 years or 100 years of wage was given to them, the net result is all of that was considered but a few things. It was a few things comparable to that which God is going to place in the hands of those that are faithful to him in eternity future. That was but a few things, that which were given here. The 5 wasn't necessarily greater. I mean, it is. There's differences. We all have differences in ability of how God uses us. But God using someone up here is no greater than God using someone who doesn't stand up here, but who is in the pew or who goes out in ways that he puts before us. Sometimes small ways, sometimes big ways, but never underestimate or think that a small way or a small action or a small way to serve God is insignificant. They are all insignificant. I mean, they are all significant, and they all have ramifications that go on for eternity that will be huge. God doesn't ask us to go out and find a huge thing to do. He asks us to be faithful in the thing that he has placed before us this day, the circle and sphere of influence that he has placed before us. Notice that the 1-talent man. His perception, the thing that led him to not use that which God had given him, put before him, was the fact that he knew the Lord to be something other than he was. His concept of God was completely distorted. He said, "Lord, I know you are a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not gathered seed." I mean, what is he saying? You go and take harvest from other people's fields. You go and gather, you sow things, you're reaping where you have not sown, you're gathering where you have not scattered seed. You are going and taking things where it's not yours. What does that make him? Yeah, unfair. It makes him a thief and a robber. His whole idea is he was attributing to God the characteristics of the devil himself, right? A thief and a robber from the very beginning. And he was attributing to God those things that were nothing like that. And the master's response is, well, if you had seen me like this, if this is how you perceive me, then you should have at least put this in the bank instead of buried in the ground. And there's one thing that we can know from this lesson that Jesus is trying to teach is this isn't just a casual lesson. This is good to know. This is a matter of life and death. Because the end of this says, for everyone who has more, more will be given, and he who has abundance, but from him who does not have, even that will be taken away, and cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. I mean, it's the similar type of outcome as the foolish virgins. These are matters of life and death. These are teachings of life and death that he's trying to impress upon them. And he's impressing it upon his disciples now, and he wants to impress it upon our hearts even now. Have you ever thought it was interesting of why the one talent servant who just buried it and then said, "Here, I'm giving it back to you. I wanted to make sure it was okay. Don't worry, I haven't stolen your money," even though that's what you do. You steal where you... And he's given it back to him, of why he takes it from him and gives it to the 10 talent servant. I mean, this is like the opposite of Robin Hood, right? This is like stealing from the poor to give to the rich. Isn't it? What's that? The 10? Oh, the one belonged to the master, and the master can give it to whoever he wants. It was his, and he gave it to the 10. But again, I think the harshness, the apparent harshness at first glance to take from this guy, he doesn't deserve anything, and cast into outer darkness, is emphasizing the eternal realities that God is trying to communicate to not only their hearts, but to ours. So, what does all this mean? Well, we know about our talents and our means and our time and those things that God has given us. And all of those are important that are there. And everything that God has given to us. Is there anything actually that you have that God has not given to you? No. Everything is actually His. And the amazing thing is He actually gives it. And just for our benefit, to use for the benefit of ourselves or for the benefit of someone else. That's what is represented here is the 5 talents. It's grown. He's using it. He's putting this forth to help others to do things. And therefore, it grows and it grows and it grows. You've heard of the passage, "Give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down and overflowing." that actually precedes the fact that I have given to you. Freely, freely you have received. Freely, freely give. That's the lesson. That's the point. And those of us that want to, our normal hearts want to hold on that which we have. We want to protect ourselves. This is a call to the self-sacrificing life that he's called every one of us to. The other thing that's really important, though, but if you think of it, it's like, well, what's the 5 talents and the 2 talents and the 1 talent? If you thought about what is the 1 talent that every single one of us has at our access, what would that be? Yeah, it's the Holy Spirit. It's God's Spirit, and this is primarily about using the resource of his Holy Spirit in our heart and our life. The talents that Christ entrusted to his church represent especially the gifts and blessings imparted by the Holy Spirit. So if you had 120 years of wage that is represented here, it is at least this, that his Spirit is striving with each one of our hearts. And he wants to bless us. He wants us to grow. He wants to grow us into holiness and righteousness. He wants to pour out the gifts of his Spirit, which might manifest itself in different ways as teaching and those types of things. But it will always manifest itself in a heart like Christ's. Christ's heart and life in us. In this passage dealing with this in Christ's object lessons, not until through faith and prayer that the disciples had surrendered themselves fully for his working was the outpouring of the Spirit received. Does the outpouring of the Holy Spirit have any importance when it comes to the end? Yeah, it absolutely does. As we think about the early rain as it came to the disciples, we think of the latter rain as it comes to God's end time people. And as they did this, through faith and prayer, they surrendered themselves fully to his work. The one talent servant was not yielded fully to his work, was not yielding himself to the access and the resources that God had made available to him, and therefore was equivalent to just digging a hole and burying it, all going to waste. So they surrendered themselves fully to his work was the outpouring of his Holy Spirit received. Then, in a special sense, the goods of heaven were committed to the followers of Christ. This is what he wants for each of us. As we grow in grace and the working and wooing of his Spirit moves in our hearts day by day and grows us to a point of full surrender, he can then impart to his church a blessing that today we have yet not even known or imagined what that would be. I think there's an expression or a statement that says something like what would normally take 1,000 days will be done in 1. The work of the Holy Spirit in our life. And then this statement here, the gifts are already ours in Christ. How many believe that? All the gifts, everything that you need, from the forgiveness for all of your sin to the transformation of your life. How believe that that is all true in Christ? It is already ours. But the actual possession depends upon our reception of the Spirit of God. How many would like to receive every day that fresh blessing of his Spirit to bring that which is true in Christ a reality in your heart? Amen. And then I want to end with this last passage. Learning, talents, eloquence, every natural or acquired endowment may be possessed, but without the Spirit, without the presence of the Spirit of God, no heart will be touched. No sinner will be won to Christ. On the other hand, if they are connected with Christ, if the gifts of the Spirit are theirs, the poorest, the most ignorant, or we could say uneducated, of his disciples will have a power that will tell upon hearts. God makes them a channel for the outworking of the highest influence in the universe. How many would love to be a channel for the outworking of the highest influence of the universe? Amen. That is my prayer too. Let's pray. Let's pray that prayer together. Father in heaven, we thank you that you have given everything. You have poured out all that you have in the person of Jesus Christ. That you bring all of these things to us as individuals, all of these things to your church as a corporate body. Oh, Father, forgive us where we have taken at times that which you've given and just buried it. We've not availed ourselves to that blessing which only multiplies as we use it. Father, may we not feel that we are stuck in just one place, but we realize the potential that is there in the gift of your Spirit. We ask that you would each one of us, Father, grow us up into the fullness of the measure of Christ, and to prepare us individually and corporately to receive that which will be a blessing to those around us and to the world as the last message of mercy is delivered. Father, this is our desire, and this is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.